Let us pray. God of liberty, we rejoice in the blessed abundance you have bestowed on our cherished land. We praise you for the freedom of religious expression which allows us to gather here today. We praise you for the freedom to say what we think without fear. We praise you for the freedom to come and go as we please. We praise you for the benefits of education made available to us. We praise you for the freedom to dream our own dreams and to strive to make them come true. We praise you for the gift of living in a land untorn by war. We praise you for the bounty of this fruitful land which provides us with plentiful food. We praise you for all our blessings. Now enable us to be a blessing to others. Amen. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Look, a glutton and a drunkard." Happy 4th of July weekend. This weekend gives us pause to reflect upon freedom. And not just the freedom that we celebrate in our country, but the ultimate freedom that is offered to us in Jesus Christ, our Christian freedom. To put it a little bit into perspective, I want to call upon one of our great theologians of our day by the name of Jerry Seinfeld. Not one of my favorites, but he does tell a story that is, to me, very funny, where he takes on the character of talking racehorses. You might have heard this at some point. And they're all at the starting gate, and the horse says, "Why are we all lined up here?" And the bell goes off, and out they go, and suddenly the jockey is whipping the horse in the rear end, and the horse says, "Ouch, that hurts!" But he starts to run faster, and he's saying as he's being whipped, I get it, I'm going as fast as I can, why are you in such a hurry?" And they continue to go through this, and finally they stop, and the horse breathes a sigh of relief, and the jockey takes off the blinders, and he says, "What was all this about? Why are we in such a hurry? We're back where we started from." There's something about blinders, there's something about a positive value of the focus, and in Jesus' terms, taking his yoke upon us. My burden is easy. My burden is light. You know, when we look at this phrase of easy, what the literal meaning is better translated, well fitted. That those burdens, the yokes that we have, are each well suited to each one of us. That God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. And it becomes incumbent upon us to really achieve our true freedom, to be willing to take that upon us. It was an Old Testament saying to say that you took on the yoke of the rabbi as the rabbi's disciple. And this is what we're talking about here. Once we decide we are going to have this rabbi as our rabbi and become his disciple, then, as we've studied with Rob Bell, you want to learn so that you can know what the master knows, so you can do what the master does. But there are boundaries that we have to follow to do that. And we are blessed by our faithfulness that sometimes God enables us to have a hint, an idea as to what that plan and purpose are that are going to be worked out within us. Look at our first reading today. We have this wonderful story. You know, it started back when Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a child, and Sarah, in her old age, becomes pregnant, has a son. And now we pick up the story where Sarah has died. Isaac must be wondering, well, how does this fit into God's plan? And through that long, convoluted story that we hear with the servant following and listening to God's voice, Rebekah is brought to him as his wife. It's our job to be faithful with the assurance that God will work the plan out for us. We look at freedom in our lives, and we oftentimes are looking at freedom as the freedom from things. Freedom from religious or political oppression and all those things. But true freedom is freedom for us to use what God has given us to become all that we are called to be. I always remember from my corporate days, there was this one hotshot mucky muck that was just nothing but that. And I remember my boss saying, you know, he has a lot of potential, and he always will. You know, we can be given all these gifts, but unless we are willing to use them, unless we are willing to do what the rabbi calls us to do, Jesus Christ, we are never going to get, and we're not going to be free. Sometimes we think, I think, that freedom means I can have everything. Anything can be mine. Well, I want to show you a clip of somebody who thought that that was the case. If we can run this first clip, and I'll explain it to you.
Well, as for the million, look in that drawer. A million bucks!
No more bets, please. 33 flats.
Hey, how about that? I win again. Hey, Fats, come here. Put your money on the table, Fats. Right there, number 14 red. Rocky is hot tonight. Am I right, Charles? $600 there.
You would think he has all the freedom in the world. This story will go on. Any girl that he looks at falls madly in love with him. He can continue to winning any betting game that he wants to play at the casino. Seems like he's pretty free. This is a story, though, of a man who didn't live a very good life and continued to make the choices to do the things that St. Paul talked about in the second reading today. And what happens in his afterlife is just what you have seen, but his joy with it wears thin very quickly. This is what happens about a month later. Let's watch clip two.
13 black, ladies and gentlemen. 13 black. What about your chips, sir?
Nail them to me. What do you got?
Straight flush.
Royal flush.
You win again, Mr. Valentine.
Yeah, I know. That's all I ever do in this nutty joint is win, win, win.
Is there anything else I can do for you?
Yeah, get out of here, will you? I'm sick of looking at you. Come on, out, out. You too. Come on, out, out, out. Let's go. Come on. Get out of here. Come on. Keep moving. Step it up. Come on. Out. Dumb broads. Who needs them? Hey!
Complete freedom maybe needs to be redefined. After 1 month, he's totally frustrated. St. Paul talked about really freedom, that he would do the things he didn't want to do when sin was sort of keeping him enslaved. And it is only when he turns his life over to following his disciple Jesus that he experiences that true freedom. Freedom comes from the choices that we make to do the things that we are called to do, to be the people we are called to be. Otherwise, we're enslaved. You don't believe me? Ask anyone who's ever suffered from any kind of addiction. They don't feel very free. These uncontrollable urges that they don't feel even like they have a choice over anymore. But talk to that same person who has, with God's help, been able to overcome an addiction. And the first time they are able to say no to whatever it is, they will say, "I feel freer than I have ever felt." This is freedom. When we make that decision of what we are going to do and who we are going to be, following the disciple, that freedom is endless. You might have imagined that these clips are from one of Rod Serling's original Twilight Zone episodes, and it would be unfair for me not to show you how this all concludes. Let's watch the third clip.
Will you stop creeping around?
Anything you say, sir.
Anything I say. Knock it off, will you?
Why, something wrong?
No, nothing's wrong. Everything is just peachy. Look, I've been in this dump for a month and I can't stand it anymore.
But I don't understand.
All right, I'll spell it out for you, Fats. I'm bored. Bored. I mean, there's no excitement around here. No kicks.
Yeah, but the gambling, I thought you enjoyed that.
I do. But when you win every time, that ain't gambling, that's charity.
Well, I could arrange for you to lose occasionally if you'd like. Would that help?
It might. No, it's no good. It ain't the same. I would know.
Perhaps you miss your old vocation, is that it?
Now you're getting it.
Well, there's a nice bank at the corner that you could rob, or would you prefer a jewelry store?
No, bank's okay.
Well, fine. Now, as to the getaway car, well, we have quite a large variety to choose from. Something inconspicuous, I imagine.
Wait a minute. Is there a chance that I could get caught?
Of course, if that's what you'd like. Let me just make a note of it.
Come on, sit down, Pat, sit down. Now, look, I don't know how to explain this, but it just ain't the same thing. I mean, what's the kick knocking off a bank if everybody knows about it? Huh? And the dames, I never thought I would get bored with beautiful dames, but... Look, I wouldn't expect an angel to understand this, see, but being a big guy with a chick, it don't mean anything if it's all set up in advance. And I mean, everything is great here, you see, really great. It's just the way I always imagine it, except that, just between you and me, Fats... I don't think I belong here. I don't think I fit in.
Oh, nonsense. Of course you do.
No, I mean it. It's just somebody must have goofed. If I gotta stay here another day, I'm gonna go nuts. Look, I don't belong in heaven, see? I wanna go to the other place.
Heaven? Whatever gave you the idea you were in heaven, Mr. Valentine? This is the other place.
We have incredible blessings in this country, and we certainly need to be grateful for those many blessings that we celebrate this weekend. But when we look at it from the perspective of true Christian freedom, perhaps we need to concentrate upon how we achieve that true freedom under the yoke of our rabbi, Jesus, who in his own life shows us what true freedom is all about. Think of what Isaac found in the story today. Think of what Paul found in his own life. Think of what Jesus found in his life, where at a time when we would think he had no freedom, he was the freest person ever in all of what transpired. In his passion, Peter was not free from fear and he deserted. Pilate was not free from the fear of his power. Jesus was. And even Judas was not free from that enslavement that he had to his worldview of what the Messiah was supposed to be. He is not free. He's enslaved. But Jesus truly is the freest of all. That is the freedom that he wishes to give to us. May we seek that under the yoke of our rabbi. Amen.